So mountains then, let me just pray and then we'll dive into tonight's material. Father, thank you that we can be here amidst the beauty of this place. Thank you for the mountains all around us. Thank you for the way they point us to you. Lord, help us this evening to concentrate. Lord, many of us are tired. Lord, help us now just to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you would use some of the words that I have this evening just to speak into people's hearts. And Lord, I ask that through your Holy Spirit you would touch each of us. Not just this evening, but this week. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. So for those of you who don't know me, I have a love of mountains. Now, maybe that's not a huge surprise. I have a house in Norway. But I wonder if you know how such a love came about. So I can remember at the age of 12, we went to Switzerland. It was the only time I ever went abroad until I went to university. I never left the country. And in fact, I've never left Europe, which is quite staggering, because I've travelled quite a lot. But at the age of 12, I went to Switzerland. I was pretty amazed then by the mountains. I don't know if you've been to Switzerland. Equally, though, I can remember going to the English Lake District, and our family climbed this mountain called Helvellyn, a mountain that I've grown to love. And I can remember most of my family going on up at the mountain, and I was kind of behind this rock with my mum for some reason. I don't really know why, but everyone else went up the mountain and I didn't. So I don't think it was until I met Debbie that actually I really grew to really love the mountains. And she brought me here, she took me to the Lake District, and pretty much we've been to the Lake District every year since just before we were married. So on the one hand, I have this love of mountains, but it's also countered by a certain fear of heights, which again might sound a bit strange, because people generally think I'm pretty obsessed with mountains, and I am, but if I get close to an edge, I feel pretty scared. I really struggle when there's a steep drop. I find it quite exciting in a way, but it's still scary. It's not what I would call a rational fear. It's not a sensible fear. At the end of the day, the mountains don't really move. I know geographers might tell me something different, but let's face it, in a given day, the mountain is not really going to move. But mountains always bring danger. By nature, mountains are dangerous places. We can enjoy them, but we must respect them. Mountains have always had kind of different roles in life. They've been places of refuge, places to go and hide, to get away from things, hideaways, places to escape. They've been boundaries between different areas, different cultures, different locations. Different gods have always been associated with mountains. And it's probably no surprise that in the Bible that's no different. Indeed, if you look through the Bible, it's worth doing actually, look in a concordance and see how many references there are to mountains or mountain. There's in excess of 300. There are lots of references to mountains. They're a common theme. The God of the Bible, though, is not necessarily identified or restricted to any given mountains, although Sinai and Mount Zion would be two that he is especially associated with. But mountains also have a negative connotation too, negative implications. So they're often places where idolatry goes on, places of worship to other gods. But still, mountains have always carried a sense of God's presence, served as places of special worship for God's people. And this week I want us to look at some of the most significant mountaintop experiences recorded for us in the Bible. So you'll see in your brochure that we're going to look at six. So James is going to help us look at Horeb, so when Moses meets God at the burning bush, God calls him to go and rescue his people from Egypt, and Moses is not keen. Then we're going to look at Abraham at Mount Moriah and God calling him to sacrifice his one and only son. Well, it wasn't actually his only son, but the son of the promise. Then we're going to go to Carmel with Jez and think about that big showdown between the prophets of Baal and God, and they call down fire, and well, you know what happens. Then we're going to think about Mount Sinai, the place where God gives the Ten Commandments. And yet the very next chapter, they build a golden calf. And then we get Moses and his dialogue with God. And then Stephen's going to take us through the transfiguration. Jesus is transfigured before James, Peter and John. And then to the Mount of Olives at Gethsemane. And then finally, Luke will wrap it all together and bring all the threads together and weave it into one great tapestry. Sounds very grand, doesn't it? Luke's going to help us draw some conclusions in English as we look at Mount Zion, and particularly this city of God, city of Jerusalem, the city of the future, as well as the city of now. But there are some other mountains too that we could have looked at. So here's the snippets of what you've missed out on. We could have looked at Mount Ararat. What happened at Mount Ararat? Noah's Ark came to rest on Mount Ararat, yep, after the flood. We could have looked at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Anyone know what happened on those mountains? Yep, blessings and curses from Deuteronomy. What about Mount Nebo? I spent hours just going through mountains. Say again? Actually, no, he died on Mount Hor.
Oh, wait, then Moses.
Moses, yes, yeah, Moses. So God takes him to the edge of the Promised Land. He shows him the Promised Land, but Moses wasn't going to enter. And then he dies, yep. And then we could have looked at things like the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus does quite a lot up mountains. Jesus often teaches up mountains. Feeding of the 5,000. It was the special place he went to spend with his father on a daily basis. So are you convinced? Are you excited? Does that sound like a good place to go this week? So our theme this week is the idea of experiencing God. And in the morning times, we're going to try, which I know tonight's not a morning, but the rest will be generally mornings. And we want to look at how we experience God through this lens, if you like. Think of a camera lens of mountaintop experiences. And then there will also be some seminars, probably on, I don't really know, one at the beginning of the week and one at the end of the week, where we're going to think about how we experience the Spirit and some particular issues that come out of that. So my hope is that this week will be a really encouraging one for us all. I hope you enjoy being here. I want to encourage you to make the most of the time you have here. We will have quite a bit of space each morning just to spend alone with God, to go out and sit, you know, around the fjord or wherever you want to be, a place that helps you to meet with God. I want to encourage you to share from your lives this week, to be real with one another, to be open. And the hope is that the mountains of Norway will be a place where you experience God this summer. For me, this has always been a place where I've experienced God in a very real way. There's a song we often sing. I've often sung in Latvia at a place called Zosna Camp, and there's a line in it which says, "This is a place where God is near," and I think that's true in Latvia at this camp. But I also think it's true here. I think this is particularly a place where I've experienced God to be near. So I want to just share three short encouragements at the beginning of our week, and they will be short. Could someone just pull up Psalm 121? So I have three snappy points. First one is lift your eyes to the mountains. It's only a few verses. There's lots of references to mountains in the Psalms, by the way. It'd be a good study in itself. Yeah, I think in the Russian Bible the numbers are slightly different, aren't they? Yeah. Stephen, go for it.
I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over you, your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Thank you. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. It's kind of hard not to do that here. Even amidst the torrential rain on a football pitch, you're still surrounded by mountains. So you probably see in your Bibles that this is called one of the Songs of Ascents. Does it say that in there? It probably doesn't translate very well, but... Does it say that in your... Yep. So, and particularly these kind of psalms were used by people travelling up to Jerusalem. They're typically quite short, easy to memorise. It's only, 8 verses. And a much loved psalm by lots of people, I'm sure. But particularly by people relying on God on some of the journeys of life, some of the challenges of life. Because I think the mountains here could be any kind of destination, any kind of distance, with some amount of risk as we look to the road ahead. And you get the feel here of there's some kind of uncertainty, we don't really know what, some uncertain situation. But the psalmist is able to affirm their hope and their faith in God. And I think that's kind of the thrust of the psalm, that's what it's about. Setting our eyes on God. And I think the mountains help us to do that. So let me encourage you to do that this week. There are lots of reminders, and you're not really going to be able to get away from the mountains unless you lock yourself in your bedroom and shut the curtains. And even then, you can't get away from the noise of the river. We've probably all left lots of situations at home. Some of us are here with our whole families. But actually it's a good time this week just to forget some of the worries of life. It's a good opportunity just to leave the world of social media and Facebook and all this kind of stuff. Leave it to one side. Forget your emails for a week. Just to be real, be present here, and to make the most of this opportunity. Life does move quite slowly in Sheldon. Maybe that's a surprise, but it does. But a week is only so long. Before we know it, the opportunity will be gone. Make the most of it. Okay, secondly, renewing our hope and soaring on wings like eagles. Could someone read Isaiah 40, 28 to 31 for me? Anyone to do? Go for it, Kath. 28 to 31. End of the chapter.
Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Thank you. Thank you. I do love these verses, and I really wanted to weave these into my talk this evening, because they have a particular reference to this place for me. But we've got to go back a few years. So this is a story about me. And Beth gets a little mention in there as well. So we're going back 7 years. I think it's 7 years anyway. And Debbie and I had to go to Scotland, of all places, for a wedding. My brother's wedding. In the middle of the trip. So we'd come to Norway. We'd come to Norway, we'd been to Latvia, we'd come back, I think that's right. And anyway, we went back to England, to Scotland for this wedding. And it was a really nice wedding. I was the best man, I gave a great speech, you know, it was really good to be there, really tiring as well. But while we were away, there was almost mutiny back here. So while we were away, there was a growing kind of tension growing in the house. At least that's the way some people tell the story. And it was towards the end of the trip. It was a 5-week mission trip. And the team was getting a bit kind of weary. There were some tensions growing between different people. Beth might give you a different version later on. And the leaders decided to send the team up the mountain, this one here, which is called Bolstad Nussi. If you actually look from the football pitch, you can see a farm halfway up the mountain, and we're hoping we can go and camp up there some point this week, I think. So the leaders had sent the team up to this place called Revni to camp. So we got back from the wedding, and we had two choices. We could stay down here in the nice cosy hostel, or we could go up and see the team, and we decided, no, we want to go and see the team. We were particularly tired that day. So off we went up and we saw the team, and they were pretty excited to see us, to be honest. And basically, they'd gone up the mountain with no food because it was Sunday and the shop was shut. It was pouring with rain and half of them were ill. And so it wasn't a good situation to come into, but they were very excited to see us. And they were actually going to hike to the very top of the mountain. And I hope that maybe we might get close to the top of the mountain, but that's not really my decision. Anyway, Debbie decided that she wouldn't go, so she came back after some time up there. But I decided to hike all the way up to the top. Now, if you've ever done this mountain, to go all the way to the top and go all the way to the back and round the crazy waterfall thing with the rope and back down again is a pretty long hike. And I actually came back to the hostel the same night, and basically from about halfway down the mountain I started reciting these verses over and over again as my legs gave way. And they kind of came to have quite a strong meaning for me, because physically I felt absolutely wrecked. I'd been home for the wedding, I was tired, I just hiked a crazy high mountain all the way to the top with a group of people that weren't in the best mood. But that was really, really good time with them. And I guess what I had to do was renew my hope in the Lord, and he did renew my strength, and I felt that all the way down. And I was conscious that I had a God who didn't grow weary and didn't grow tired, and somehow he enabled me to get all the way back down to the bottom. And I did literally crawl into the kitchen at the end of the evening. It was a crazy day, but it was a great hike. And actually, in some ways, it was a really deep experience of God on the way down. And these verses have continued to be very special to me for that reason. So we've had lift up our eyes to the mountains. We've had renew your hope in the Lord, and we'll soar on wings like eagles. And maybe you want to remember those verses when we do some hiking later in the week. That might be useful. But then thirdly, and finally, just to share a bit of the story of this house, and to encourage you to be at home in the mountains. So we do have this place, and it's a special place. And it all started in about 2001. And the first groups came, and actually they camped up at that place, Rebney. There was no hostel then. The first teams that came here had to go and camp. And sometimes it rained. And there was a Scottish team that came one year, and they got particularly wet, I think. I just thought I'd weave some Scottish bits into the talk. The word Elfheim, if we had some Norwegians, they could translate it for us, but we don't. It means river home, for obvious reasons. This is a glacial river. It comes off the highest mountains in Norway, which are just up here. We may well get to go up there at some point, and there are snowy mountains not far up that road. You just can't see them from the bottom. So the way it all began was a man called Edvin Bolstad, and he's going to be teaching us on the Holy Spirit this week. He lives about 5 minutes over the bridge, and he was born here. He's kind of 75, probably fitter than any of us. He's been climbing mountains all week. He's an incredible guy, but he linked some American friends of ours, Daryl and Annette Doimer, who were one of the other couples that own the hostel, and he linked them with this place. And so they started bringing teams here and then taking them on to Latvia, to Zosna camp. Anyway, so after being at that farm for a year or two, they decided they would pray for a place. And in particular, they prayed a couple of verses, which I don't know if are written on one of these cards. Isaiah 12, 4 and 5. Is that written up there? They're all Genesis, aren't they? I can't read them from here. I thought it was written on one of these. Let me read you. This is what they prayed. Isaiah 12, 4 and 5. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Let me read that again. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. That was the vision they prayed from the top of that mountain. That this would be a place where people from all nations would come and gather in the name of the Lord. That this would be like a gateway, a place where people would go out to take the gospel into different nations. And I don't know if you've seen the flags that are across the top there. I hope your flag is on there. If it's not, then we need to add some more. But people from all those countries have been. They're not up there just for show. These are people from these countries have been. I may not know them all, but they've been here. So that's kind of exciting to see the way that God has used this place. And to cut a long story short, about a year after praying at the top of the mountain, this hostel came up to buy. And the group of people, these Norwegians and this American couple, were able to buy this place for next to nothing. They actually originally bought the house next door, but they decided they really wanted to keep it, so we let them have it. But this place was a bit of a disaster. The kitchen was downstairs. There was actually an attic at the time and lots of rooms in the attic, but this place was in a bad, bad way. And so teams have been coming here and people on discipleship weeks like this and doing a lot of work on this place since 2001. So this place represents a lot of people's hard work. People who've been here lots, I mean Beth for example has been here many times, could tell you probably on three or four hands how many walls she's painted in different bedrooms. I've pulled down all sorts of walls and all sorts, generally the destruction tasks I got given. Not sure why that was. But for us it's a home from home in the mountains, and we hope that it will be for you too. And our hope is that we can keep bringing people here for many years to come. And that prayer and vision is still the same, that it would be a place for people from all nations to keep coming, and a place where people are sent out into their own context with the gospel. So we've had lift up your eyes to the mountains, we've had renew your hope in the Lord, and finally this be at home here and be part of God's community here, praising God here. Okay, just a final few things about the week and then I'll finish. So we're studying a set of encounters this week. Encounters that people had with God. But we're not trying to create expectations necessarily of having exactly those experiences. I think if we asked around how many of us have met God through a burning bush, probably not many of us would say yes. Not many of us have been asked to sacrifice our children, if we even have any, on an altar. Not many of us have seen the mountain on which we're standing tremble. None of those things are impossible. God could do those things. But I think what we want to do instead is draw some principles about how God deals with his people. And we're going to look at these encounters. We could have looked at those other ones. We could have looked at a whole load of non-mountain experiences, Paul, for example, on the Damascus Road. Lots of others as well. So we're going to reflect a lot on that. And you've probably seen in the brochure, no, it's not in the brochure, is it? I haven't got it written down. It's written on the timetable. There's some questions that we want to wrestle with about how we experience God. You know, why do other people have experiences and we don't? What exactly is an experience of God? How do we know? And each of the speakers are going to wrestle with those questions as we go through as well. So there's going to be these two strands. There's the mountain theme, there's experiencing God, and then there's this other idea of some of these difficult questions. And we have some good people here as well. So we have Peter, our resident philosopher. He has a degree in philosophy and would love to chat to you in the early hours about deep philosophical questions.
We have some
A-listers, Navigator A-listers, Jez and Alison Perry, leaders from France. We have Anka from Russia, and lots of other good people as well. So pick their brains. You know, if you want to talk about something this week and it's not necessarily on the menu, you know, raise it, you know, bring it up over the meal table. This is a good place to do these things. It's a safe place. Let me just encourage you with the booklets. There's a space in there that you can use to jot down thoughts from the week. Thoughts are easily forgotten from a week like this. If that helps you, make the most of it. If not, don't worry. Each morning you have, as I said, some time to spend with God. There are some questions in there that will help you just get into the passages. So it'd be really helpful tomorrow if you were to look at Exodus 3 and 4. And there's some questions that I think actually Beth came up with, but James is doing the talk. But if you were able to give a little bit of time. I know that people have their own kind of reading plans and things going on, but you're going to have an hour and a half tomorrow, which is probably a crazy amount of time to spend with God for some of you. You have the time to do it. So that would be our encouragement, that we all come to the passages each morning having looked at it already. So that's an idea that you can do with that. And if you need other ideas, then perhaps talk to Lydia and she'll point you in the right direction. Okay. And then the next thing is just to say that each of us who is sharing this week, we are only human and we do get things wrong. Later in the week, we're going to have some real Norwegian fish. They're in the freezer if you want to look. You know, full fish, eyes and all. And the thing about fish is you can't just eat fish without doing some work. You've got to gut the fish. You've got to remove the bones. And you've got to do that a bit with the talks and seminars this week. There's going to be some good fishy bits. And there's going to be a bit of bone. When you come across the bone, just ignore it, discard it. You know, you're all clever people. You can check these things out for yourself. Don't just take our word for it. Check these things out for yourself. Search the passages. See if what we're saying is right. See if what we're saying is helpful. In your times, you're going to have some times to discuss as a group after the sessions. And that would be a good time to do that too, to wrestle together with some of the things as well. And it may well be there are some things this week that you just think, you know, what planet are you on? But hopefully there will also be some really good things that you just think, yeah, that's really God speaking to me. And that's our hope for each of us this week. And then just to say, there'd also be a chance for people from countries to share a little bit. I expect Lydia's going to say something about that. But we'd like to hear a bit about what it's like to be Christians, to walk with Jesus in your own contexts. And that is always a real encouragement to hear experiences of different people. I think around the room we've got various cultures represented. We've got France, we've got Russia, we've got Holland. We've got various parts of the British Isles. We've got Germany. We've got Latvia. Is that everybody?
Yeah, I think
Canada. So. Canada. Yeah, we've got Canada. Right. USA. Yeah. I kind of think of Beth as being anglicised. She's kind of been... She's been with us so many summers. That... Sorry, Beth. Okay. Well, we hope you enjoy the week. Let's just pray as we finish, and then it's over to Lydia for some practical details. Father, thank you just for an opportunity to get together this evening. And Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity this week to meet with you. And Lord, we ask that all of us would experience you in a new and real way. Thank you, Lord, that you are here. You're present among us. You're present in us if we trust in you. And Lord, as we spend this time together, Lord, we ask that you would just touch each of our lives in different ways. Lord, speak to us. Give us ears to hear. Lord, help us to put away any distractions, anything that stops us from hearing you this week. Lord, if there's things in our lives that we need to really bring before you this week, help us to do that. Lord, bless our time together. Bless our fellowship with one another. May we be such an encouragement to each other this week. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.